Hi, this is News Director Larissa Donovan, and I'm joined on the phone by City Council candidate Greg Kuhn. How's it going today, Greg?
Going wonderful.
All right, and you're running for Ward 3, correct?
Correct.
All right, so why don't we start this interview by why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, like how long you've lived in Bemidji, roles in the community you've served, other campaigns you may have run, and the like?
We moved into Bemidji in 2002 following work. We at the time had two boys and grew to three with our daughter in 2003. I was a police officer here in at the Leech Lake Reservation for 10 years and then went in a different direction and got my business degree from BSU in management. And since 2014, I've been with Peterson Sheet Metal as the asset manager. I guess that kind of covers a little bit of that. My background would be I grew up in Elk River. I graduated from Elk River High School. I went to the United States Air Force in June of 1990 and served for almost 13 years in the active and the reserve capacity. So a little bit of veterans experience there.
Well, thank you for your service.
No problem. Also, I have never run a campaign. I've never run for office. Not even student council. So this is my first foray into it.
Well, welcome aboard, I guess I should say. But what made you want to run for council this year?
You know, I guess I'm into politics a little bit. I mean, it doesn't consume me, but there's a lot of things out there that are kind of concerning. And I've talked to a lot of people and a lot of people talk to me about it. And I just thought, well, maybe it's time for somebody to do something, as in me. Instead of talking about it all the time, why don't you do something about it? And, you know, I mean, I figured, well, let's give it a shot and see what happens. I mean, you can only lose. I mean, that's the only thing bad that can really happen.
I suppose, yeah. So next, I'll ask you a few questions on some top-of-mind city issues, at least that I've been reporting on for a while. But as you may have heard, half of the city is non-taxable land and properties. So a significant burden to operate the city falls on the remaining city property taxpayers. What solutions do you think would solve this problem?
Solutions, obviously, are to bring in more tax revenue, which would be, you know, bringing in more business. And that's kind of the focus of what I'm looking at is, you know, partnering up with folks like Dave Engel and other business leaders in town and, you know, just finding out what's going to, you know, fit for us. I mean, I was reading an article today in the news or down in the Twin Cities metro area about a company that had their business destroyed during the protests and the riots in Minneapolis. And they're basically saying, where are we going to go? You know, we're going to rebuild, but we're not going to do it down here. And I thought, well, you know, there might be a few of those out there that need to have a welcoming map put out in front of them and maybe be courted a little bit and say, come on up. So if we can get folks like that and businesses like that to come up here and share in that tax burden, I mean, then we can continue to live in the way we're accustomed to.
All right. And a follow-up question to the tax burden issue. Do you support a hospitality or sales tax to relieve some of that burden, especially for the costs of the Sanford Event Center?
I don't know enough about that to say yes or no. That's something I'd have to do a lot more homework on to see. I mean, on the face of it, maybe, but on the other, you know, the other side of the coin, I mean, you know, does the burden fall on, you know, the folks that are coming up here to enjoy the Sanford Center in the case of a concert or an event? Or, you know, I guess I'd have to get a lot more information before I was even able to make a decision on that.
Fair enough. All right, my next question concerns the Highway 197 business corridor, you know, the main drag that kind of jets off from Bemidji Avenue, heads west. MnDOT plans to work on that stretch of highway in 2024, and the plans for multiple roundabouts was, of course, scrapped. What do you think should happen there to improve safety along that corridor?
Oh, I guess I'm not really sure about that either. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's a very unsafe corridor of traffic. I'd have to look at data to see if there's how many accidents there's been in on that road. I mean, it's actually the shortest state aid highway or state highway in the in Minnesota.
It's really?
Yeah, 197 is the shortest one. That's what I was told when I first moved up here by one of the deputies I worked with over in Cass County that grew up in Bemidji. But anyways, yeah, I mean, a lot of that has to do with, you know, finding the solution is going to have to have a lot of input from a lot of different people because it services a lot of different people, businesses, organizations and whatnot. And, you know, getting back to that democratic, you know, constitutional republic type of thinking, which is, you know, have these hearings and bring everybody in and, you know, using social media and things like that to get the word out so folks can come in and say, hey, here's what we think. And, you know, the MnDOT can see what they're thinking and we can see what they're thinking and the city can make a decision that's, you know, beneficial to as many as possible. I mean, you're never going to please everybody, but,
that's
you know,
we've
got to try.
All right, my next question is something I reported on just this morning. The city's water system needs an expensive fix. And without legislative bonding dollars or a sales tax, that burden will likely fall to the utility ratepayers. What are your thoughts on the project to treat PFAS in the city's drinking water? And what do you think should the city look at for possible funding solutions?
Well, I mean, obviously we've got to fix that. I mean, if there's issues with the city drinking water, I mean, I just had to go on city water last year during my son's graduation party. My well died, and I was grandfathered in, so that, you know, was kind of a bit of a stress, but we're on the city water system now, and you know, of course, I've got a vested interest in that, but, you know, because I'm drinking the water, so we got to fix it, whatever the problem may be, you know. And I did see in the council notes yesterday that there was a contract awarded for a well replacement. So that's a step in the right direction. As far as funding it goes, you know, I wrote, you know, or not, I shouldn't say, I did not write, but I helped write some grants when I was working over at the Leech Lake Police Department. So I've also got some other folks that I know very well that are good at grant writing. And, you know, that's an avenue we could look at too, you know, as a community that, you know, is trying to get more business in and increase our tax base. I mean, there's incentives for individuals to start businesses. Why shouldn't there be incentives out there from the federal government to, you know, help us with our infrastructure? So I guess I'd look at that avenue as well, because I don't believe that the burden should be 100% on the community if at all possible.
Fair enough. And my next couple of questions concern some current events. Recent events in the city and state have highlighted the issues of racism and distrust of the government. What would you do as a council member to improve race relations and trust?
See, I guess just having an open door is a big, big step in the right direction. You know, I mean, having a lot of folks, you know, turning to social media, I should say. And, you know, sometimes that's a double-edged sword. I mean, sometimes it can be a good thing and sometimes it can be a bad thing. But, you know, I like to engage as many people as I possibly can and, you know, finding out what people want. I mean, I think with the whole COVID-19 thing we've all gone through, a lot of people got pretty used to Zoom. They've gotten pretty used to the other media outlets out there that they can do distance learning from, they can do distance meetings from, you know, Microsoft Teams is another one. I mean, utilizing things like that and just setting up a you know, I wouldn't say a chat room, but setting up a venue on a given day during the week or a given day during the month, you know, even if there's less enthusiasm. But, you know, checking out all those different avenues to find a way to engage people is the big thing. You know, I mean, there's groups of folks that, you know, kind of get together each, you know, and they're all different and they're all diverse and they all get together and they may not talk to the other groups, you know, and let's start doing that. Let's find a way to bridge that gap and have everybody talk. Cause, you know, I mean, there's always something going on out there that, you know, we don't all know about. And, you know, if we all talk with each other, you know, the old-fashioned white picket fence thing where you're talking to your neighbor in the backyard. I mean, I think we got to bring that back, and we got to bring that back as a community, and the community is the people that need to drive that, and I'm more than willing to be the facilitator.
All right. My last question is concerning COVID-19. As many businesses are starting to reopen to close to normal, what do you think the city council's role should be in public health emergencies? God forbid this ever happen again. And a second part to that question, the council took some actions on the COVID crisis. What did you like that they did, and what would you have done differently?
First question, I guess the answer for me would be a very minimal role. As a city, you've got information that maybe the public doesn't have, and that obviously is going to guide where you're going. But a lot of your information is going to come from, you know, Sanford. I mean, those are the doctors and the nurses and the professionals in the healthcare industry that know the information. So, you know, a lot of that stuff should come from them. And then, you know, the administrative workers that work within the city, I mean, they know the city. And, you know, not only that, but the county workers too. They know the county. They know the population. They know the densities in different areas. And they know what can and can't happen with data, you know, whether it be good data or bad data. And I would say, you know, going through and sifting through that data and making the right decision for the city as a whole, as opposed to blanket statements, blanket orders that don't do anybody any good. But then your second question was, what did the city do good and what did they do bad? Honestly, I don't think they did anything terrible at all. I think it was one of those situations where everybody was in a pandemic and they didn't have any idea how to respond. I mean, it was almost like a deer in the headlights type of mentality for a lot of folks, and
yeah,
it took time to wrap their head around it. You know, I mean, how do you go from one day being told that it's a pandemic and millions are going to die to a week later it's not? I mean, I guess the big thing would be because of, you know, with our society and how wired we are, why didn't we have the best, most up-to-date, positive information to go with? You know, and I feel like, you know, we all kind of got, I think in a way, we all got blindsided and bamboozled by some pretty powerful interests at the federal and the world level. And everybody did what they could in the best way they could. And I guess I can't find a whole lot of fault with what anybody did.
All right. Is there anything else that you wanted to make sure we touched on before we wrap this up, Greg?
No. Like I said, my focus is going to be on bringing business to Bemidji and increasing our tax base. You know, I'd like to work on the Sanford Center and finding a way to make that more profitable so we can drop that tax one of these days. You know, and I'd also like to find a way to lower property taxes. But like you've just said, I mean, obviously it's maybe unrealistic, or maybe it is. Maybe with the grant money coming from the feds, we can make that happen. We can drop our tax base. I mean, my property taxes are expensive, and I'm one of the folks that are hurting from it. So, you know, I'd love to see that go down. And you know what? One thing that kind of bugs me, and it's a personal thing, you know, with Bemidji, why don't we have single point recycling at curbside?
You know, I think this has been discussed before, but not since I've been a reporter. So that,
yeah, and I don't know the answer to that,
yeah,
either. But I look at my dad lives in Elk River, and I'm thinking he's got it. Why can't we have it?
That's a very good question. I wish I knew the answer too. It would make it so much easier. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me, Greg Kuhn, City Council candidate for Ward 3.